Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, what organ is shaped like a butterfly and largely determines the speed of your metabolism? We learn all about the thyroid, diseases, treatments, and risk factors from the head of the thyroid clinic at Johns Hopkins.
But first, the rise in neurological disorders such as Alzheimer's disease, depression, and ADHD has also led to a rise in prescription drugs to treat these conditions. But one renowned neurologist believes that medication is not the answer. Nutrition is. Dr. David Perlmutter says wheat, carbohydrates, and sugar are destroying our brains. And by avoiding those three, we can alleviate or even reverse brain disease, eliminate brain fog symptoms, and improve memory and energy levels.
Dr. Perlmutter's most recent book, Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carbs, and Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killers, has become an international bestseller since its publication in September 2013. An associate professor at the University of Miami School of Medicine, Dr. Perlmutter is a board-certified neurologist and fellow of the American College of Nutrition. He's recognized internationally as a leader in the field of nutritional influences in neurological disorders.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Perlmutter.
Well, I'm really glad to be here.
No pun intended, but your advice is hard to swallow for a nation that is used to seeing carbohydrates and grains form the basis of the USDA food pyramid. So why are grains, carbs, and sugars so bad for our brains?
Well, let's just take a step back here and talk about this USDA food pyramid, because that says a whole heck of a lot. So who is the USDA? The USDA is the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and their mission is to help farmers sell more of their products, their grain products that they grow. You know, America is the world's breadbasket, right? So right off the bat, why would the USDA, Department of Agriculture, be dictating to us, directing us in terms of what we should be eating? Well, when you look at that food pyramid, you recognize that at the very base of that pyramid are the whole grain goodness, cereals, breads, and pastas, and all the things that really the USDA would love for us to eat. But those are, beyond the gluten issue that we'll talk about in just a moment, those are carbohydrates. And carbohydrates are specifically profoundly detrimental to brain health, heart health, immune function. And that's really what we've got to turn around. We've really got to get people back on a diet that brings, oddly enough, fat back to the table. Fat is a food that we are desperate for in terms of our health.
What is it about carbs? What's in carbs that makes it bad for our brain health?
Well, it's something that's in carbs per se, but it's what are carbs, and that is they are basically sugar, whether it's starch that's broken down to sugar or pure sugars themselves. Your morning glass of orange juice contains 9 full teaspoons of sugar, 36 grams of carbohydrate. And carbohydrate immediately induces increase in inflammation and an increase in the production of chemicals that are called free radicals, which damage your protein, your fat, and even damage your DNA. So this is really the fundamental reason why our most well-respected peer-reviewed medical journals are all over this right now. I mean, just a few months ago in the New England Journal of Medicine was a very compelling report showing that even blood levels of like 105, 110, where your doctor is going to say, oh, that's cool, don't get excited, you're not diabetic, the studies show that even at those levels of blood sugar, you're already at a profound increased risk for becoming demented. And let me remind you, that's a situation for which there is no treatment. So basically what we're talking about here is preventing that very disease, Alzheimer's, that people dread the most and for which there is no treatment.
You are not the first doctor to come out with a book that makes wheat and sugar the culprits for poor health, but you are the first to emphasize how carbs impact our brains. And you indicated that the science is out there. Why hasn't this connection been made prior to Grain Brain in a meaningful way that is getting the attention that you're getting now?
Because no one's really recognized that lifestyle factors are so fundamentally important for the brain. You know, we've talked about a heart-healthy diet, and women should have lots of green and leafy vegetables because they're going to help build stronger bones, etc. But people have really shied away from the notion that lifestyle factors affect the brain's destiny. But the bottom line is this has been appearing, at least in the scientific literature, for decades, And I think that what Grain Brain has literally brought to the table is the notion that, you know, this is actionable material. This is stuff over which you can make changes that can ultimately provide your brain a better shot at remaining healthy and functional and sharp. This is a story that's well beyond Alzheimer's and the diseases that we fear. This is a story that extends to children. You know, 6.5 American children have now been diagnosed with ADHD, it's a disease. And, you know, the scary part of that story is that two-thirds of them are taking amphetamines under the acquiescence of their parents and doctors saying, this is okay, it's the best we can do. And I am here to say that something is very, very wrong with that picture when we know that a lot of these kids can do better in terms of their ability to function, both academically and socially, when we simply change their diets. And so, you know, that might well be the answer about what, you know, why Grain Brain has had such global traction, because people are finally saying, hey, let's take a second look here at the notion of giving our kids these powerful drugs, the long-term consequences of which have never been studied.
Let's talk about the role of inflammation, because you've alluded to it. The types of inflammation you're talking about are chronic, and yet we don't, quote-unquote, feel them, although you're saying we do. What does the role of inflammation play in the disease-making?
Well, Alzheimer's disease, for example, is an inflammatory condition of the brain. And I want that to sit for just a moment because, you know, we typically associate inflammation with the cardinal features, pain and swelling and redness and loss of function. But the brain doesn't have pain receptors, so you really have no way of knowing that your brain is inflamed. We now have science that will actually allow us to image the brain in an Alzheimer's patient, and it lights up in terms of looking at those cells that are creating inflammatory chemicals. So the brain of an Alzheimer's patient is an inflamed brain, as surely as your knee is inflamed when you have rheumatoid arthritis. The cardinal approach, the most important approach to dealing with Alzheimer's, not only in terms of treating it, but in terms, more importantly, of preventing it in the first place, is to do everything you can to reduce inflammation. And that means a low carbohydrate diet. When your blood sugar elevates, that blood sugar binds to proteins. It's called glycation. And that leads to a huge increase in inflammation in the human body and affects not only the brain, but every organ in a very, very detrimental way. And this is really one of the cornerstones of degeneration of tissues. And I can promise you the last thing you want to have degenerate in your body is your brain. So that's why a low-carb diet is so fundamentally important. And beyond that, everybody's, you know, low fat, no fat, this and that. And that's the worst thing for your body. Your brain is 60% fat. It's built from the fats that you consume in your diet. And fat can reduce inflammation. Let me be really clear about one thing, though. Not all fats are good for you. That there are these horrible fats that are, you know, kind of ubiquitous now in the grocery store. The modified trans fats that have been treated in such a way that extends their shelf life. And when we talk about increasing your consumption of fat, we're talking about olive oil, nuts and seeds, grass-fed beef, wild fish, coconut oil, the good fats. And I'm certainly not talking about these modified crazy fats that are so prevalent in the American diet.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
We're talking to Dr. David Perlmutter. He's a board-certified neurologist and fellow of the American College of Nutrition. And he's the author of the book we're talking about today, Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carbs, and Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killers. What does Grain Brain share with other nutritional approaches that avoid wheat, sugar, and carbs, such as the paleo diet, and how does it differ?
In the broad strokes, the paleo diet, the Atkins diet, the South Beach diet really are diets that are, again, focused on increasing fat and decreasing carbohydrate consumption. Those diets and the Grain Brain diet, this is a revolutionary new approach to human nutrition. This has only been around what we've eaten for about 2 million years. So this is brand new, hot off the press. This is how humans have always eaten. It's only been in the last, you know, 150 years that sugar has started to creep into the American diet. And really in the past couple of decades that fructose as a sugar, high fructose corn syrup specifically, has gained the number one spot in terms of a source of calories in human nutrition. So what we're seeing now are the fad diets, are the crazy diets that the human body is not responding to appropriately. And so these other approaches, reducing carbohydrates and increasing fat, are where we share similarities with those other types of dietary programs. Where we differ, I think, from the Atkins program, for example, is we're really super selective in terms of the meat and animal products that we recommend. It's not fair game, no pun intended, to have all kinds of packaged meats and meats prepared in various ways that are found in some of these diets. We really want people to focus on grass-fed choices. Because when you feed grain to create beef, for example, or chickens, you're giving them a powerful resource of high inflammation-producing omega-6 fats so that the meat created from grain-fed beef is pro-inflammatory, increases inflammation. And as we just talked about, that's something we desperately want to avoid. The grass-fed beef, however, is much higher in the anti-inflammatory omega-3s. And beyond that, it's not received genetically modified foods, hormones, and antibiotics. Same thing with fish. So that's kind of where we differ from Atkins and South Beach, because we're really very selective in the choices made in terms of these higher-fat food products like eggs, like beef, like poultry.
You referenced gluten earlier, and I don't want to run out of time before we can address that. Can you talk about gluten and what role you feel it plays in our diet and how it's affecting our brain?
Gluten plays a very profound role in human physiology. It's a very foreign protein. We have hardly ever in the history of our existence on this planet consumed gluten. I mean, some might say, oh my gosh, we've always eaten wheat, we've always eaten bread. It's in the Bible, for crying out loud. Well, you know, the reality is that was 2,000 years ago, and we've been here for close to 2 million years. So for more than 99.5% of our existence on this planet, we didn't eat bread, we didn't eat grains, there weren't any. So, you know, the idea that we've always had gluten is really meaningless. So beyond that, gluten is a foreign protein. And when you introduce anything foreign into the human body, the first thing that happens is we mount an immune response because we're being challenged, and that immune response is characterized by inflammation. So, yes, there's celiac disease, which is an autoimmune phenomenon affecting about 1.8% of the population. Then there's non-celiac gluten sensitivity that affects about 30% of all humans. And according to recent research at Harvard, all humans react negatively to gluten in their diets to some degree. So this throws a very, very wide net indeed. And certainly I'm not saying that gluten is the cause of Alzheimer's, ADHD, depression, and all kinds of horrible things, but it certainly is a cause in some people. And that what justifies trying a gluten-free, low-carbohydrate diet when you're at risk for any of these issues or you're actually suffering from any of these conditions. You know, I'm a practicing neurologist. I'm in my office treating patients every day, and this is job one, changing what people eat and giving their brains what they desperately need. Job one is not just writing a prescription and giving people a pat on the back and sending them out the door.
And implementing the Grain Brain lifestyle is what you are going to go over with us next week for part two of our discussion of Grain Brain, carbohydrates, wheats, and sugars. Dr. David Perlmutter is a board-certified neurologist and fellow of the American College of Nutrition and author of the book Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carb, Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killers. Thank you so much, Dr. Perlmutter.
It's been my pleasure.